They became thoughtless and destructive, nearly wreck-soft-hyphening Earth many times, and turning Mars into a desert. Venus died in the last cycle of solar expansion when all flora and fauna were destroyed by lethal stellar radiations. Her proximity to the star of her system caused our scientists to study the Sun very closely. They found that the Sun's atmosphere engulfs the planetary system, and that any changes occurring in the Sun would affect the planets and their atmospheres. The star of this system is a middle-aged, yellow variable, somewhat irregular in the radiation of short wavelengths. We all live within the ecosphere of our stars, and the stability of each planet within a solar system soft-dem depends on the radiations emitted by the stars. The Sun has a tendency toward instability within the gaseous inv soft-lope. As the rotational velocity is slowing down, magnetic flip-flops occur in a cycle that varies between 7 and 17 years, averaging about 11 years. Magnetic polarity is reversed at each cycle, and sunspots are triggered by magnetism, emitting brilliant and lethal solar flares. These flares erupt through the photosphere to spew out ionized hydrogen, streams of fast protons and electrons, toward the planets in the form of deadly solar winds. The electron density in the Earth's ionosphere waxes and wanes in step with the 11-year cycle. Likewise, the auroral displays aloft wax and wane as planet Earth respires within her star's atmosphere. The Earth's ozone layer can be destroyed during a cycle of the Sun's expansion, as the ozone layer of Venus was destroyed, exposing the surface to radiation and thereby destroying all vegetation. Earth survived the last cycle of solar expansion, though it killed off vast numbers of terrible lizards that had flourished extravagantly in the subtropical climate. For millions of years these dinosaurs had dominated Earth, their thick hides like armor plates, a protection against radiation bombardment during that epoch of explosive evolution when the Sun was younger and the climate of Earth very much warmer. Thriving on violence and destruction, their small, weak brains feel soft-tier at such dim impressions as their limited senses received. They were no match for their changing environment, and when the Sun burst forth in expansive eruption, engulfing your solar system in lethal radiations, they were destroyed over the entire land surface of the planet and in the swamps and shallow seas. The Earth, reacting like a barometer to her star, reversed poles in cataclysmic eruptions all over her surface, burying this thriving life within her breast. While her star shrinks back, smaller and brighter, as each cycle of expansion takes its toll in her scale of evolution, the period of time between each regular period of sweeping death shortens. The aging star is moving again in this epoch to a death throe of expansive radiations. Earth lies well within the great radiating atmosphere of the Sun. The tenuous corona extends so far from the visible disk that Mercury, Venus, Earth and its moon and Mars are enveloped in it. Undoubtedly, these intensified radiations now emitted from the Sun will disturb the Earth's ionosphere, increasing ionization of the outer atmosphere. This in turn will trigger unstable weather patterns throughout the world, affect soft-hyphening global air circulation and rainfall patterns. During the cycle of low-density sunspot activity, droughts occur, and during the cycle of high-density sunspot activity, severe storms and floods occur. The Sun affects the weather all the time as the wind patterns change, and this in turn affects the surface of the planet, causing numerous earthquakes. When the planets of the solar system move into conjunction, they will exert a pull on Earth and many severe earthquakes will occur. The prospects for humankind are chilling. They live in an interglacial period and are now moving into another cycle of vast weather changes, which is a prelude to another ice age. The physics of planet Earth cannot be studied without reference first to her star, the Sun. I lived again in the magic of the vision I had had while lying alone in hospital when I was given the magic lease we sent as life. The tall scientist switched on the electric mirage and went on to say his name was Thurton. He was working in close cooperation with Akin in the scientific surveillance of this solar system. "Look at the sun and the electric mirage," I whispered, my voice Rufus soft hyphening to sound as I watched the enormous writhing sphere. It erupted into vast prominences that suddenly collapsed, only to rise again immediately like live things, some awful creatures of the space depths, violently agitated by turbulent motion with ascending and descending currents. A granulated appearance made up of millions of cells resembling those of a honeycomb pulsated in a boiling ferment of electrical disturbance. Jets of glowing hydrogen erupted, reaching out with immense tentacles to engulf us. How violent and frightening it is! Is your scientific survey ship really immune to those magnetic upheavals near the photosphere? I asked as a flash of apprehension filled my mind and I moved closer to Akin. Be happy now. Our love is a being, a timeless flame. It is the bond of our souls, and the soul is a flame that never dies. My beloved, you know of this, so do not continue to fret. Looking down at me with a gentle smile of rebuke, he brushed the hair from my cheek and kissed me. We never think of such things, said Haben, quietly interjecting his thoughtful concern. Akin's spaceship is highly efficient, with our latest technical achievements. A little comfort from his reassuring words, however, as I watched the boiling, expanding gases of the convection region with widening eyes and a catch in my breath. They writhed brilliantly in continuous waves, and branches of light emitted outward from the photosphere in dense radiations. Stupendous energy and density are generated continuously, and radiation is the process of transfer deep inside the sun, the photosoft-electric process of bluish radiations. Suddenly, a gigantic vortex in the sun's equatorial region commenced to rotate and darken with the intensity of its magnetic field. The Oort-Soft-Sum, terrifying solar storm, or sunspot, erupted and spewed out a gale of ionized particles in a fantastic flare that engulfed the spaceship. I set the automatic control in my ship to release a laboratory disk to collect a sample of it fly plasma, Akin remarked. Good, Thetan replied. I think analysis of that flare type is urgent. Akin is our scientist in charge of variable star research, Haben told me. Have you ever been really close to a star? I asked. My heart turned over as Akin smiled and said, not as close as I wish to go for scientific observation. It is now necessary to make a closer approach to study the photosphere. We must take samples of the boiling gas in order to counteract the dangerous reactions within the magnetic vortices, or sunspots, before the next maximum cycle. Oh! I said, and again, a sudden apprehension clouded my happy soft-ness. What fate awaited me? I wondered why I felt such a deep feeling of unease as I watched with awe the frightful violence of the Sunday. I looked with concern at Haben. Meeting my eyes, he knew my thoughts and fears for Akin's safety. I looked back at the filtered mirage into the sun's inferno. The violent upheavals of our star held the portents of dire and terrible disaster unless Akin could approach close enough to nullify the explosion conditions. Although the star's existence was a source of life-giving light for the entire system, I sensed its dangerous hostility to any form of control. As a live thing, it would react. Akin stood, watching carefully every phase of the sun's violent active soft-itai. His tall, lithe figure seemed to become greater and more powerful. His wonderful face more godlike with the intensity of his concentration. I thought of the teeming life on Earth and knew how little they could under soft-stand the mighty and powerful forces set in motion to stabilize their star and wobbling planet. How could they know that Akin held the key to life and their continued existence? Clearly, I could now see and understand the divine writing on the blackboard of space. Here was the reality for me. Slowly, the fantastic close-up scene of the sun faded away until North soft-ing was left but the length of the sumptuous room. We must return to my spaceship now, Akin softly said. That means. My voice faltered, and I could say no more. Akon put his arm round my shoulders and held me close while a tall and lovely woman glided silently into the room, her bare feet sinking without a sound into the thick and rich carpeting. She came to me and kissed me on both cheeks and wished me farewell, her golden eyes soft and thoughtful, her beautiful face full of concern. "I know how you feel," she said. "I am Blair, Haben's mate. When we mate, it is forever, and so it will be for you and Akon. He will be back for you before long." Pushing her shining blonde hair back over her shoulders, she took Thetan's hand. "Thetan is my brother. When we bring the giant mothership into Earth's atmosphere, you will know that Akon is safely back." "Come," called Haben. "We will go back to the garden room on the way, where I will show you our home planet as I promised." "Thank you," I replied. "How wonderful that will be." Smiling gently, Haben motioned us to follow him and we all went back into the garden room and sat down in the luxurious comfort of a deep, low couch, while he attached the tiny roll to a groove in the wall. A distant planet appeared, a bright pinpoint of light rapidly enlarging, another home of life, another island moving in the vast void of heaven. Here was the reality, a dimension I could only perceive after releasing my tie with Earth. With beating heart, I saw a brilliant blue-white sphere coming closer and closer as if we were flying there ourselves. Then Akon was speaking. "Our home system in Alpha Centauri consists of 7 planets, all inhabited by our civilization. The 7 planets orbit about the 3rd component of this beautiful star system, known to you as Proxima Centauri. The largest star gives a reddish light about 1/3 as bright as the sun's, while the second star's light is similar to sunlight. The third star, Proxima Centauri, is like the sun, only with a reddish light. And, of course, it is a very stable star. The planet we see now is our original home planet in this triplex system, similar to Venus when she was able to harbor our great civilization in the past. Since we moved to this planet, we have expanded out to all the other planets in the system. The entire system is within the tremendous coronas of the 3 stars. Through breaks in the clouds, the beautifully colored surface of the planet appeared, and we seemed to hover high in the atmosphere. A great, glistening cloud billowed up over the sea with a curtain of rain at its base. It was a magnificent cumulus, clear and graceful. The immense double circle of a brilliantly colored rainbow floated within its aqueous influence, a rainbow seen as a complete circle from high in the sky, its colors bright and clear with a depth of beauty only possible in the rain-washed atmosphere. Rose-red shimmered in the outer primary circle, quite breathtaking in its entirety. The rays from the stars struck a golden radiance out of the cloud, and the whole sky reflected a covenant of color with the celestial consciousness of the universe. The divine essence of truth encompassed my being, and there was no sadness or emotion in knowing the transient joy of being a part of this life. I knew it could not last forever. Now was the time to live, though, to tune into the essence of life and to become a part of it so that I could live with it for the rest of my life, no matter where. A vast expanse of dark blue sea spread out below and small land masses, lighter in color, appeared scattered over the darkness of the water. A deep blue sky reflected in the depths of the seas. The expanse of mighty ocean curved beyond the hazy horizon, tranquil and calm, sparkling in the soft, clear light from the stars. Moving in closer, we saw a great island spread out below, emerald hills and mountain slopes rising in the misty distance to mountain tops of rose-red rocks and cliffs glowing in the gentle radiance of sunlight. Throughout the pastoral country, tall dark green trees could be seen scattered soft-tiered in park-like beauty, with winding rivers and streams glittering from the mountains to the sea. Enormous golden trees like deodars stood out on the mountain slopes, where sapphire blue and emerald green met in a glory of sunlit atmosphere. The island scene of my vision, and even the fragrance of the lovely countryside, filled my senses as memory flooded my being. I lived again in the magic of the vision I had had while lying alone in hospital, When I was given the magic lease we sense as life, that mere soft hyphen sender of joy. I felt the inner lifting of the spirit toward the vaster firmer soft hyphen meant beyond, where time is of our mortal essence. Here was the reality, a dimension I could only perceive after releasing my tie with Earth. Our dimension is space and the surface of planets, never the interior of planets. We moved with the electric mirage as if we were hovering over the glorious countryside ourselves, with fantastic and complete mobility and unlimited vision. This scene is coming through from one of our small surveillance discs, transmitting directly to us, Akin explained. There is no time lag. The scene is instantly beamed to us, as the disc is robot-controlled. The disc moved to a lower altitude, and I saw white animals racing across the emerald sward below, horses, pure white with flying manes and tails, galloping over the open countryside. Others quietly grazed as foals frolicked among them. There were no fences to hem them in and no roads or highways to gash and mutilate the glorious land. No pylons, hideous constructions or railway tracks marched across the fair land like monsters of the airy depths. Here was no civilization of the machine age but an earth untouched by any artificial means of cultivation or transportation. Here was freedom and joy amidst a land of plenty, the tranquil pastoral beauty of a lovely land. Scattered homes could be seen nestling amongst the trees and flow soft hyphens, circular buildings made of a glistening material like mother of pearl set on daises of surrounding circular steps. Rising in our slow passage over the glorious country, we approached the high mountains and glided over the mighty rose-red cliffs, slowly descending to the rolling green hills beyond, and onto the sea. Silver craft moved about the sky, their round fuselages glinting in the sunlit atmosphere like the iridescent lining of a pearl shell, flashing signals of welcome to our observation disc and other signals direct to the giant spaceship hovering in the environment of the Sun system. A city sparkled, white and silver, encircling a curve of bay. The deep sapphire water reflected a wealth of classic beauty set among trees and flow soft hyphens full of brilliant and exotic colors. There were simple, circular buildings, not more than two or three stories high, with flat tops where individual craft could land, take off or park. Some of the buildings were enormous, like great circular pyramids with vast columns and steps encircling the bases, but with no roads or highways to mar the beauty of the scene. Completely lost in the fantastic beauty of the place with its wide lawns and lovely trees, gleaming buildings and exotic colors, I heard Akin speak again. We have no problems with smog or atmospheric pollution, as we use only electricity generated from the atmosphere for all our energy and power needs. The various individual skyships used by everybody are a soft hyphen trickle. They simply tap the energy from the atmosphere. Suddenly, the magnificent picture faded away and nothing was left but the length of the sumptuous room again. Each time this happened, I felt quite disorientated, so I quietly remained seated. Without a word, Akin took my hand and we went out of the giant spaceship and stepped again into the central cabin of his scientific survey ship. A gentle humming and sense of quiet vibration through the floor gave me a feeling of security as it had done when first I stepped into this beautiful spaceship. In the larger vessel I had not heard or felt any move soft hyphen meant at all. A moment later, the second member of the crew came through from the mothership. He was tall and very handsome, but younger than Akin. He smiled, a fascinating expression lighting up his face and bringing warmth to his eyes. His brilliant white teeth flashed with fleeting charm, and chestnut hair and golden eyes accentuated his striking appearance. Here indeed was a man to shoulder responsibilities with Akin. As he went to the control panel, the flickering screen lit his face, sharpening the fine molding of his features. "My name is Sharon," he said in a deep, gentle voice. "My ancestors remained on Earth to study the Pleistocene cycle of solar expansion. They constructed a beautiful under-soft hyphen ground city where they survived the intense radiations. Moving into the heart of the great mountains of the southern continent, they maintained our civilization there. Even to this epoch on Earth, our spaceships come and go, retaining this base within the vast wastes of Antarctica and the North Pole in the Arctic, I asked. Our civilization set up headquarters in the Southern Hemisphere only, as this was merely a prelude to our departure for a neighboring star system. The radiations in the Sun's system had become far too intense for our well-being and we were forced to live underground. This, of course, was not to our liking, so we moved out of this solar system altogether, to the surface of another planet where we can still enjoy the glory of the skies, the stars, the fresh winds with the tang of the sea and the rain, and the infinite reaches of the heavens. Do you wear the type of garment that Akon was wearing when he stepped from this ship on the mountaintop to protect your skin against radiation from the sun? Yes, indeed, my dear. We never expose our skin to radiation from the sun. Day as a scientist, I am continuing with the work of my parents and our ancestors, in the study and research into variable stars, still a dangerous mission for both Akon and me. We look into the very beginnings of life throughout our galaxy, for we are all evolved from stardust. We are star people, and thus a part of the living galaxy in which we sense this magic lease we know as life. You, my dear, are aware of this because you are one of us. In time, we will all be together again, forever, in the cycle of our destiny, which is entwined in eternity. Our people have never been troglodytes, Akon quietly said. Our dimension is space and the surface of planets, never the interior of plansoft-ets. Underground cities and passages are a legacy of the past, left to Earth by us. We retain the underground base at the South Pole, where the warmer lakes are. This is the area of the underground city of our ancestors, and in that epoch there was no ice cap. Volcanic activity keeps the area of lakes free of ice and snow, and we are able to move out of the spaceships in comfort due to the lack of radiation at that high latitude. There is a hole in the atmosphere there, through which the circumpolar vortex spirals down with the intensity of the Earth's magnetic field over the poles. At the poles, the Earth's magnetic fields dip earthward in a funnel-shaped pattern. As solar particles spiral down toward Earth in the magsoft-netic funnels above the poles, they hit and excite atoms in the upper air that give off the flashing spectral light of the auroras. These streams of charged particles from the sun wax and wane with the 11-year solar cycle as flares burst from the surface and bombard the Earth with radiation channeled toward the poles along the lines of force of the Earth's magsoft-netic field. These particles are trapped and swept from pole to pole, and they are moving fast enough, and in sufficient numbers, to excite the molecules of the ionosphere to emit their characteristic luminous specks soft-tra. The areas on the Earth's surface from which auroral displays aloft are observed wax and wane with the 11-year cycle of solar activity. In its output of light in the far ultraviolet range of the spectrum, unobservable at the Earth's surface, the Sun is a variable star. The electrified curtain of the auroras guts right across the Antarctic continent, as the southern auroral zone is centered about the South Magsoft-netic pole, which is over 1,000 kilometers from the geographical South Pole. The South Pole itself is on a high, windless plateau, where powder snow lies unbroken above hundreds of meters of compacted ice. Antarctica is the coldest and windiest region. It is much colder than the Arctic, where the relatively thin ice over the Arctic Ocean allows warm soft siphoning of the atmosphere from below, while the air above Antarctica has no such central heating system. It lies over a massive continent, and it is literally in an ice age. Temperatures of 100 degrees below freezing can result. As a result, the insulating roof of the troposphere disappears in midwinter, leaving the lower atmosphere open to outer space. Sharon pressed buttons on the control panel to disengage the space soft-ship as Akon finished speaking, and we sat down on the comfortable bench. The door closed silently and merged with the shining curved wall. The viewing lens flickered on to show the giant mothership floating in the velvet blackness of space, The radiation from the sun striking its inner soft hyphen mass shape with a stark white light against the background of brilliant stars. Beyond it I saw Earth, so alone and vulnerable, a delicate shade of blue with cloud patterns swirling white, a home of life, an island moving in the vast void of heaven. I thought of my family so far away on that remote sphere, that ball floating in the trackless reaches of space. I drew in my breath at the inked soft-hyphenable scene and felt the remoteness and restlessness that only a mother can experience. Akin drew me close to him and pressed a button at the base of the lens with his foot. The lens darkened and went blank. He began to speak again, in his gentle, reassuring voice. As I mentioned before, the sun's corona extends so far from the Vis-soft-hyphenable disk that the Earth is enveloped in it, so you can understand how the weather on Earth is controlled by the Sunday magnetic storms in the ionosphere I worldwide, since the ring current encircles the Earth and the global circulation of the atmosphere is powered by the Sunday. So then is your base situated at the magnetic pole? I asked with renewed interest. We are at the center of the Antarctic auroral zone, the southern terminus of the three key meridians. Akin quoted so many degrees west, east and east, then went on. This is the region where magnetic instruments go haywire and the compass needle dips down at the magnetic pole. Radio communication cutoffs occur, and disturbance is so severe during the cycles of maximum activity on the sun that sudden radio fade-outs occur simultaneously with the appearance of solar flares. At these high latitudes, the deviation of the compass needle and radio fade-outs occur also during the cycle of minimum solar activity. The dislocation of Audi's soft-airy compass navigation is common within the auroral zone. Is your base near any of the observation stations maintained by Earth nations? I asked. Yes, indeed. The French have a forward station in the immediate area of the South Magnetic Pole, some 300 kilometers toward the geographic pole from their main station on the coast, while the Russ soft-sands are also our neighbors with two observation stations in the area of the magnetic pole. The Americans have their pole station at the geosoft-graphical South Pole, where ionospheric observations are made through long periods of total darkness when there is no direct radiation from the sun to ionize it, and also for mapping worldwide magnetic storms at a key point on the Earth's surface. We regard these endeavors by Earth scientists very highly, Akin continued. In the hostile environment of the polar regions, they have conducted themselves with great determination and courage. South African scientists have discovered a death trap above Cape Town and the South Atlantic, where there is a tendency toward the formation of a third world magnetic pole that bends radiation downward. This danger soft-aus radiation now penetrates deep into the atmosphere, and the anomaly, an area of magnetic disturbances, can be the prelude to a polar region of intense magnetic power. Is this an example of polar wandering? I asked, deeply interested. The direction in which the axis of the main dipole field of the Earth lies has changed markedly over the eons of geological time, quite apart from the changes in the polarity of the dipole. The North Pole has once soft-hyphened from a point in America, over the Pacific, and up through Siberia to its present position, and so on. Stars and planets are forever changing, nothing in the galaxy is static. We found the pyramidal type of construction most suitable for Earth and Mars, where many earthquakes plagued us and radiation remained a hazard. The pyramids were constructed by us and used by later civil soft-nations as places of worship and for burial. They are cosmic libraries, and in time they will point the way to the stars. The human race of Earth will find an escape route to the stars and away from the violence within the sun's system that its variable nature creates. These pointers will give them the clues. Those who find these clues will be eligible and free to fall soft-lowers into the fathomless depths of space beyond the light barrier. The moon is alien to this star system. It came with Jupiter and its retinue of planets. Jupiter is a forming star, a star condensing, and thus it retains a high velocity of rotation, a large mass, low density and the usual heat in the core retained by the star. It is a solar system within a solar system. 7 of Jupiter's planets have retained atmospheres and life as we know it. The moon's scarred and pitted face was the direct result of her star's explosion.